wonderful to see everybody out. Always a blessing and encouragement to be able to come together to study the Word of God as we have this opportunity to do so. Always great to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ, uplift one another, continue to fight that good fight. We started off this morning's lesson by reading in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, which says, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow his steps." So this morning we talked about what would Jesus do. Again, I brought out, but we go ahead and talk on a few more points on asking that question. What would Jesus do as we live our lives upon this earth and continue to figure out how we should be living our lives and how we should be treating one another? And so we looked at a few points this morning. I want to look at a few more. Again, this is something that we could just sit and continuously be bringing out different situations in life and points about life and say, ask this question right here: what would Jesus do in this situation? So hopefully it is edifying and encouraging and be assistance to you. As we bring out the first point for tonight, I want to talk about Jesus would teach. Jesus would teach. And because as we open up our Bibles, we study about our Lord and Savior, we look, as we continue to do, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we see what his disciples do throughout the rest of the New Testament. They taught. Jesus would teach. If he was here today, he would teach you. He would teach me. He would teach any who would be willing to come and hear. He would present the words which we need to hear. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he had seated his disciples, came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," to their, you know, he taught them. And as we go through, and he starts to preach here, the Sermon on the Mount, you go through this chapter, you go through chapter 6, you go through chapter 6, as we look at this, and Jesus taught. When we think about Jesus, and we're going forth to teaching about our Lord and Savior, it's often about his teaching, about the parables he taught, about the explanation of the parables he taught, about the things he would teach to his disciples, to his apostles. And we need to understand that if we're going to live as one who follows in the footsteps of Christ, then we should become teachers. If not, the author of Hebrews brings out that at this time you ought to be teachers, but now you need to be. Bringing out the point that there's a certain time in which, as a Christian, you should grow from a babe in Christ to a teacher of Christ. We should grow to that point, be willing to teach the Word of God. John chapter 3 and in verse 2. John chapter 3 and in verse 2. It says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Here, as he approaches our Lord and Savior, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God." How would someone know that he is a teacher unless he's God? By knowing the Lord, just the reputation and who he was, they know that he is a teacher. Not just any teacher, but a teacher of God. Because he was doing things that no other could be doing. Because he was teaching things by the authority. So here once again, Jesus would be teaching if he was here today. And that's what he desires from us. Because if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, we see as he gives his last words, some of his last words to the disciples that are with him. As he goes into verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." And, you know, it seems too much today. We can get caught up and arguing our points. We can get caught up and trying to tell people that they are simply wrong. But do we ever strive? Do we strive to actually teach them the truth? To actually teach them why it's wrong. Teach them how it's wrong. Teach them what is the right thing to do. Teach them how they're supposed to get out of the wrong path. Jesus says we are to be taught to observe all things which he had taught them, which he had commanded them to do. And so therefore, as they teach us and we study the Word of God, we take that and we teach it to others so that they can grow and learn, so that they can teach it to others. Again, this is the point that we made as we are going through Judges right now, is that there grew a generation that knew not God because they simply was not taught. We have to teach one another. We have to have and be willing to step up and lead in teaching the Word of God. And when we consider talking about teaching and asking that question of what would Jesus do, understand that means there's going to be times in which we would have to rebuke one another. Jesus would be willing to rebuke those who are in the wrong. Jesus would be willing to rebuke those who are in the wrong. We see it in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" This goes through our lesson this morning about the will of God, what had to take place. Jesus had to be sacrificed. He had to die for you and me so that salvation could be made for all. Peter was mind focused on the fleshly Lord and Savior, on saving our Savior, the Son of God, our Creator. Again, I can see how that would cross his mind and truly believe in who Jesus is. I would never allow this to happen, at least not while there's breath in my lungs. I will fight to my death. But he was rebuked. He was put in his place, said, "This is not the will of God. This is a temptation that is laid at Jesus' feet." Jesus, seeing the love that Peter has for him, the zeal that Peter has for him, could that not be a temptation to say, "Well, you know, I agree," or "I appreciate this"? No, Jesus went ahead with the will of God, and he rebuked Peter. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, Matthew 21, and in verse 12, brings out here, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who were bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" So again, Jesus here is willing to chase them out and tell them what his house is supposed to be, what the temples are supposed to be, the synagogue, the church building that we are in today, what it's supposed to be about. It's about selling things, making a profit, making money. It's a place of prayer, a place to come to worship, a place to be taught. Jesus was willing to rebuke those in the wrong. Jesus, loving one another, is willing to rebuke us. In Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Luke 9, verse 54, if you come on with me there. As it reads here, it says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did?' He turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another day." Again, here, they are just simply, you know, here, you know,
They think in their zeal and in their passion, they are ready to do all that needs to be done in the name of God, in the name of the Lord. In their mindset, they're doing what's right. In their mindset, they're doing what they think is good, what should be done. They said, look, we'll do it just like Elijah did. When we are in the wrong, we need to be reviewed. We need to be taught. Saying if we're not rebuked, then we'll continue in that path of sin. If we're not taught, then we'll continue in that path of sin. These things are necessary for our salvation. These things are necessary even as we look at asking that question of Jesus. As many as he loves, he chastens. Our Lord and Savior will be willing to rebuke, and again, he gives us the command to us. He gives us a command. Luke 17 and verse 3, if a brother sins against you, rebuke him. We are to do this. This is a command. We can't just ignore sin. We cannot just ignore and allow people to continue down. But then you've got to go back to that first thing. You have to be willing to teach. It's not just to rebuke them and tell them that they're wrong. And then have nothing else to do. But ready to study, ready to help, and assist in teaching and guiding in the right direction. And of course, you have to have love with that. That it is all in a manner of love that Jesus did these things. That Jesus went forth and rebuked Peter. We know Jesus loved Peter. We know that Jesus understood. Jesus, even when he warned Peter that he's going to be denying him three times. And he said, you know, he's brought out, I've already prayed for you. Satan has asked permission to sift you out. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus' blood. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God loved you. That is why Jesus came down. That is why Jesus was faithful and Jesus died for us. There's a great love that he has for you and I. He sets the example for you and me. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, you pick up in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I mean, again, just in these two verses here, God is love. If we don't love one another, you don't know God. Clearly what it's saying. In verse 9 it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He would have love in his heart. With love in his heart, he is going to teach. He's going to rebuke. He's going to remain faithful to God. He's going to look to God's will. He's going to pray. All of it is with love. Even the rebuking part. Even church discipline. Love is still there. But understand, if that love isn't, we can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and look there and see that if love isn't there, what profit does it have? What gain? What worth is it? That love, it does not profit. It does you no good. If we rebuke somebody out of hate, we rebuke out of people out of pride, prove ourselves right, make us feel better, again, we're not gaining anything. We're not going in the right direction. You may have the right point. You may have the correct answer. without love, what good does it do? You pick up in verse 12 of 1 John 4. Verse 12 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Again, we have to love one another for the following. You read the last few verses there, 20 and 21. Again, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Again, it makes it clear that what Jesus would do, you would have love in his heart. In all cases, he would have love in his heart. But again, so many focus on the love and that one word. And think just because we say we love somebody and God loves us does not mean that someone can be rebuked. Does not mean someone cannot be practiced church disciplined on to be withdrawn from or even to the point of God because He loves us won't throw us into heaven. That is incorrect. Because of God and His love, faithfulness, and His holiness, and His justice, that He has to remain faithful in those things, that He has to be willing to rebuke, to chasten those who refuse to obey. So therefore, we have to ask, what would Jesus do? We have love in His heart, and be ready to forgive. My final point for tonight, that Jesus would be ready to forgive, that He would forgive the opportunity presented. In Luke chapter 7 verse 48, Luke chapter 7 and verse 48, again we read here, it says, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in. Here he brings out the point that she is forgiven. And here's this sinful woman that they're all astonished that Jesus would even talk to and be around. Sins are forgiven. He can and he is willing to forgive sins. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Again, we have another example. As you read here, and it says, and behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. It's a miracle after this, but again, the question is how are we going to say that? Jesus is ready to forgive. He sees the faith they have, and he tells them, your sins are forgiven. Don't forget that you have obeyed the gospel. He has forgiven you. Again, asking that question, what would Jesus do? You have to be willing to forgive others as he has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes easy to hold a grudge, hard to let go. But as it brings out, we have to remember, anyone has the right to hold a grudge, anyone has the right to just not forgive you, forgive somebody, or God. How many times mankind continues to sin and go the other direction? We sit there and ask ourselves how many times we have sinned
we sit at home. I know we can sit at home, sit there and try to count all the blessings God gives you, but ask yourself how many times you have went against Him. You have sinned, knowingly sinned. And yet He is willing to forgive you, give you another day to examine your life, to come to repentance, as we read in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He is willing to forgive you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, again, very similar to there in Ephesians, Colossians 3, verse 13. The reading says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against you, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. How is this possible? Well, you go up to verse 12, you're buried with Him in baptism, which also was raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Again, we see similar in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. We continue to sin at grace of baptism. Or do you not know that as many as you have been baptized with Christ, have died with Christ, was resurrected in the likeness of Christ, we've put off the old man and put on the new. How? Because Jesus forgave you. Jesus made you new. We talked about it this morning that Jesus was faithful till death. He was the Lamb without blemish. And when we obey the gospel, when you choose to get baptized into Christ, and you allow the blood of Christ through your faith to wash your sins away, Jesus has allowed you to become the Lamb without blemish. We ask forgiveness and we have faith that He is going to forgive us. He can forgive us. And we repent of our sins and turn the other direction. What would Jesus do? Jesus would be ready and would forgive. We have to be willing to do that. We can't get past forgiving one another. Again, going back to us, whether or not you have love for one another. Because it comes down to whether or not we are accepting the will of God from this morning. Are we following in the footsteps of Christ? You are not following in the footsteps of Christ. We extend the invitation. We extend the opportunity to make your life right with God. Is it you have already been baptized and you need to pray? You need to pray on your own. Make sure you do that. Make sure you ask God for forgiveness. Make sure you let Him know that you want to strive to repent and turn the other direction. If you need assistance from your brothers and sisters in Christ in any way, study and prayer, come forward, let me know. Or if it's that you need to be baptized, you can do that tonight. You take care of it. Come forward following in that example of Jesus being baptized so that your sins can be washed. We insist you in any way. Let it be known.